are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, with Pastor Samakai Kahungu, who joins us now on the line, we're going to be chatting about the Holy Spirit, fundamental belief number 5 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. When you look to Scripture, it's quite clear that the Holy Spirit is a part of the triune God, right? And the term God is inclusive of the Father, the Son, and also the Holy Spirit. We're going to be seeing this in the Great Commission as well as we study this week. Matthew 28 verses 18 down through 20 says, right there, when you commission souls to God, it's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this week, we'll be taking some time to talk about the Holy Spirit. Nomfundisi Kahangu. Pastor, good afternoon and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Derek, and good afternoon to all our listeners this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi, trusting that we find you well.
It is well.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners. Let's jump straight into our conversation. Maybe talk to us about the role of the Holy Spirit within the triune God.
Thank you so very much. I think there is a very important truth, in fact, that you brought out in the introduction as we begin the discussion on the Holy Spirit. What all of us should know as we begin, there are people who are based on deduction from what they read in Scripture.
Okay.
Have ended up assuming that the Spirit is like a force. It's not a person the way Christ is.
It's the essence of God. Yeah, it's the essence of God.
Yeah. So many assume the Spirit is like a force that God uses to do His things. But I think it is important, as you have put it in the preamble, to say the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit is as God as the Son, is as God as the Father. So it's important for us to understand they are equal in essence, they are of the same mind, they have the same mission and everything else. But they are distinct as individuality. So when we talk about what is the role of the Spirit within the Trinity?
Maybe before you get to that, Mfundisi, I want to come through and lay a base for that point to say the role of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because we covered the Father, we covered the Son, and with the Father you kind of see how he is responsible for the creation of the world and the work he does in sustaining and all of that. You come to the Son, the New Testament puts it very beautifully in John chapter 1 that nothing was made that was not made by him, right? So he's very agent of creation. But the Holy Spirit, we kind of like are grappling at straws to find out what is actually his role, especially like when you look at creation, all we hear is the Spirit of God was hovering. You're like, okay, and then what does that mean? Maybe really go to town to try and explain to us, well, what is the role of the Holy Spirit, be it in the Godhead, be it especially when you look at his relationship with humanity, there at creation, for example, what is he doing?
Thank you so much. So it's very clear, like I put it, and I'm happy you brought it out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's almost very clear what the role of or who God is in the Bible. It's very clear what the role of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and those fundamental beliefs are very easy to discuss and to understand and you know, but for the Spirit, like you have put it, like when you really think about it, what was his role? What role does he play within the Godhead? Before we even talk about me as an individual, and I know maybe on Friday we'll talk about what the Spirit does in me, but what is his role? Now, to understand what the role of the Spirit is within the Godhead is to understand what is the role or what mission does God have,
okay,
in which the Spirit must play a role in it. And so you then begin to look at The fact that God created, the Bible also affirms to say it is through Christ that God created, and things like that. So to begin with, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, which introduces us to the Spirit, the Bible begins by saying that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is interesting to note that in the original, the word God is not singular. It is plural, which simplifies that it is not attributed only to God the Father as the creator.
Oh, okay.
Because if it was only God the Father, then it should have been singular. But the Bible puts a plural word for God, which signifies that he is not the only one who created. All of them as the Godhead created. And that also is amplified when you go to verse 2, where the Bible says, when it describes the state of the earth, where it says, and the earth was without form and it was void,
yeah,
and darkness was on the face of the deep. But then the Bible says, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the what?
The face of the earth,
now,
yeah.
That role already, it signifies the role that the Spirit plays. Now, when the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering, the word hovering, it relates to how a bird, either a chicken or an eagle, you know, sits on its eggs,
okay,
to birth life out of those eggs. That's the kind of language that this uses. So when you talk about the Bible saying the Spirit of God was hovering, it was like it was laying on what God was about to bring life about. So in other words, you find that the Spirit was more like in the creation. In fact, we have a question that deals with what was the role of the Spirit in creation. You discuss what the Spirit plays in creation. Mm-hmm. Is more like to go ahead of the Godhead and prepare what the Godhead wants to achieve. And you see that almost when you read, it is a theme that runs almost through the entire Bible, that almost anything that God was embarking on,
he starts with the Spirit.
The Spirit was like, what do you call that? When the president is going, there's that party that goes before him. You call it what?
Not too sure, but almost like a scout, basically.
Yeah, it's more like a party that goes before the head of state to make sure that everything is it. By the time he comes to accomplish,
everything is in order.
Going, everything else is already in order. And that is one role that you find the Spirit playing within the Godhead. And you see it run through and through. That's why even when it came to salvation, it had to take the Spirit of God first. Before Jesus Christ, the Savior, comes on earth, the Spirit had to come. It is the Spirit which this is what the Bible says, that the angel said to him, to Mary, that you will conceive. But what this thing you have in you is of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit had to come and it performed the miracle of incarnating Christ so that he can now come and give life to humanity who are now lost as a result of sin. So the Spirit plays a critical role in creation. And this is also affirmed when you read in other passages of Scripture. The Bible also talks about the fact that the Spirit was equally an agent of creation. And this can be seen when you read in the book of Job, you find where the Bible talks about the Spirit being the one which was curving the heaven. Okay? In essence,
sorry, I didn't get that, Mfundisi. You're saying the Spirit is the one that was?
Okay, so I was saying the Bible talks about the Spirit being the one which was laying the heavens.
Oh, okay.
And it was, yeah, it was the spirit which was responsible for ensuring that things were laid up according to the design that God required and what it is that God wanted at the end of the day. And you can pick that from when you read, even in our fundamental beliefs, when you look at the fundamental beliefs and you look at what the Bible teaches on what is the role of the Spirit, even in creation, you will find that the Spirit of God was present at the point when God was creating, and the Spirit of God played a critical role in ensuring that that which God desired. And the verse, I've just remembered, the verse I was talking about is Job chapter 26, verse 13, which says, by his Spirit, which is God, by his Spirit, he adorned the what? The heaven.
Okay.
Meaning, when you talk about creation, when you say God created and you are referring to the Father, what role did the Spirit play? So the Spirit was more or less the implementer of what God desired to be.
And I want to maybe just touch on that, Mfundisi. I like this essence you're bringing about their almost how you mustn't be splitting hairs trying to find out who did what. But you then make mention about Tuanana. You say he's like those agents or that team that goes to do a sweep of the area that the president is going to be coming through. That if the Holy Spirit is to go ahead, that's where you mostly find him. He is the one going ahead to ensure everything that God is going to come and do is intact. We find that when Christ leaves, he says, I will send you another comforter, but yet he's leaving the Spirit now. After he's done the work, he's now saying the Spirit is going to come behind. Talk to us a bit about that and maybe in the next minute or so, as our time is almost up, to touch on that. Also, especially looking at it from the fact that what is this comforter that he's comforting? What is that about?
Thank you. So the When Jesus Christ now is done with his earthly ministry and he's about to go, then he says, I will pray my Father that he will send you another comforter. So to start with, we must understand that what this comforter is coming to do, and he was referring to the Spirit of God, is not so different a role from what Jesus Christ had been doing, because for there to be another comforter, then there was another one.
Okay.
You can't say, I will send you another comforter if there is no comforter. You would say, I will send you the comforter. So now, the other versions, they translate the word comforter as advocate.
Okay.
And
okay.
An advocate is someone who sympathizes with us, and he speaks for us, and he speaks in us. Therefore, the role that Jesus Christ was doing on earth, as you have rightly said, that we were doing the doctrine of Christ. The role that Christ was playing here on earth was basically was a ministry of reconciliation. You know, he came to reveal the Father at the same time, so that we who had been hearing God can now live with him as he was dwelling with us. And when you see him, then he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had an opportunity now to have this closer one-on-one with God, to relate with him, to sit with him, to eat with him, so that God can be revealed. But at the same time, he was reconciling the world back to God. And in doing so, the Bible says he died for mankind. And in dying for man, book of Hebrews now tells us to say, we have an advocate in heaven who is there now to speak on our behalf, to bring about a reconciliation, to bring about change in our lives, to bring us back to God. As he goes, then the Bible says, I am going, but I will send you, I will not leave you without a comforter here on earth. I will send you another comforter who would then come. If, in other words, Jesus was saying, I will send you another advocate who will come, and when he comes, he will be able also to continue with the work that I have done. Which work is it? To reconcile the world. And this is where now You look at the role of the Spirit in the life of the believer. You look at the role of the Spirit after Christ has ascended. Yeah. You realize that it is a perpetuation of the work that Jesus Christ began on earth. And this is about bringing us to conviction, bringing us to forgiveness, bringing us to repentance, and all those things, so that the work that Christ did cannot be in vain, because even when he died, we still need guidance on a daily basis for God to show us the right way. And when we see that, then we can be able to go back to him. So the role that the Spirit is playing as a comforter, another comforter, is complementary to the role that Jesus Christ played and he has continued to play, which is about reconciling back to God.
Mfundisi, I want us to wrap it up with this one. And if you could maybe just compress your answers. Remember, I said I give you a minute and just spoke for five and we don't have the time. I want us to just wrap it up with looking at 2 Peter makes mention in verses 21 about how prophecy doesn't come on in verse 20 as well, doesn't come by private interpretation, but it's holy men of God moved by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to talk about the writing of the Bible. Is it only the prophetic parts that the Holy Spirit is involved in, or even all the other pages, even the book of Esther, that does not make mention at one time about God? Even those books, are they also inspired by the Holy Spirit? Talk to us about the writing of the Bible and the Spirit's involvement.
Thank you so much. So the Bible is very clear in Timothy to say that all scripture is inspired by God. And when he talks about all, it means all. From Genesis to Revelation, everything in between.
Okay.
All scripture is inspired by God. And how God inspired the writing of scripture. These scriptures were written over a period of time with different people from different backgrounds. But everything else agrees with each other, which signifies that indeed they were not writing of themselves, but there was an invisible hand which was guiding them to write. And that invisible hand was the Spirit of God, which was inspiring the thought process of the writers of the Bible. He did not only inspire what they needed to write, but he inspired them as they were writing to ensure that he was in control of their own. That everything they wrote was in tandem with the word of God.
And when you say all scriptures, Mfundisi, are you meaning, I like how you say it, when I say all scriptures, it means all. So is it the 66 books, or are we talking even the books referred to in the 66? I mean, when you read the book such as Samuel, it speaks of the book of Yasha. You read the book of Jude, it talks about Enoch writing. So is it also those books? I mean, there is a controversy currently going around in the Adventist circles where Willie White's testimonies have come out about how his mother, the esteemed Ellen White, believed that the Apocrypha was inspired. So is that also part of the old scriptures, Mfundisi, that are written by the Holy Spirit?
So when we talk about all scripture is basically referring to the Bible. So anything else that is outside the Bible does not necessarily qualify to have been inspired. The ones
when you say outside the Bible, what do you mean, Mfundisi? That's what I'm saying, because the Bible refers to the book of Yasha, making an assumption that we are reading the book of Yasha as scripture. It makes assumption reading the book of Enoch as scripture. Uh-huh. Like I told you, Ellen White would tell you the Apocrypha. Willie White says mother believed that it was inspired. So when you say the Bible, what are you referring to?
I think the issue really is this. When you talk about Enoch writing and we read about Enoch and who he was in the Bible, the question really is, if Enoch wrote something, would you assume that what he will write would be so far away from the God that he believed?
Okay, so we can read that.
And
so that's part of scripture written by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but then the question is, how did the 66 books find themselves in the Bible? You go through the process of canonization. So every other literature that is not in the Bible was exposed to criteria that they use in order to come up with the Bible. And each one of them that is not the Bible, which were not canonized, did not meet certain criteria, and that is why they were left out. And so, but it does not mean that everything that is there is wrong, but it simply means that it did not meet certain criteria to qualify indeed.
This criteria, Mfundisi, is it criteria of man or criteria of the Holy Spirit? Remember, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible here. And the Holy Spirit's Bible is making reference to these other books. And you're saying all of that is inspired. When Samuel says the book of Yasha and Nathan refers to that, you're saying that's inspired. When Jude says Enoch wrote of the 10,000 angels, we don't read that in the Old Testament, which means he was reading another book. You're saying that's inspired. Is that the understanding that we're to get from you, Mfundisi, to say those are inspired, but some canonization process by a council of human beings decided, no, this doesn't qualify, but the Holy Spirit had said that's scripture?
Okay. So I think we need a time to just discuss canonization.
That's perfect.
I think we can now go into to say, how did Revelation find in the Bible, but the book of Yasha did not?
Okay, that's a fair point. We will definitely make time for that, Mfundisi, then.
Yeah, I think it's a discussion that needs its own time so that we can just deal with canonization. We qualify and disqualify everything else based not only on the process of canonization, but it is what it is that guided the Bible for the Bible to what it is.
No, Mfundisi, let me then give my appreciation for your time this afternoon. Thank you so much for taking us through this very profound lesson. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.